Okay, the record has started now. Welcome to Monday night conference call. Sorry we're so late. It's 10:20. I'll try to get through this stuff quickly, but we do have a lot of important things to think about, talk about, and focus in on. When we put together NationalLibertyAlliance.org, we went national. We were originally NewYorkCommittee.org because we were focusing in on the political powers, trying to take back the political process without the politics, because we're not interested in politics and or arguing or any of that stuff. We just want everybody to obey the Constitution, so that's what we're all about. And, of course, when we discovered this with the judicial process, the going through the common law and into the grand jury, we laid everything aside when we discovered it, realizing this is the way to go. And as many people now know, we then changed our name to NationalLibertyAlliance.org because we were having people visiting us that were from other states and wanted to do the same thing. We didn't intend on doing anything national. We were just focusing in on getting New York together, and we presumed that once New York got together, the rest of the country would focus in and say what's going on there, and they would follow us. But we did realize that people needed the instruction. A lot of people didn't understand the process and the procedures and how to do these things. And we had gone through this whole process of studying procedures in the judicial process and also common law particularly. And so we kind of know how to do it. We've seen a lot of other people try this, and they failed for many, many reasons. And we know why they failed, because they didn't know the judicial process. There is a judicial process, especially when it comes to filing judicial documents. And it's the same no matter where you're at, and this is what we're teaching, and it's pretty simple, really. But if you don't know about it, then you know you're not going to know where to file a presentment, nor maybe you might not know how to write a presentment. You have to be working under the auspices of the courts. You cannot be outside the courts. Of course, under emergency situations, you can operate in a tent outside the courtroom, and that's where we're at right now. We're in a tent outside the courtroom, and we will continue our indictment process and what we're going to be talking about tonight, some of the things we got going. And we'll continue the pressure until we get into the courts. We're not looking at any other cases other than the case against the conspirators that are guilty of high treason against the people. Because they refuse to allow them to take their rightful seat as a fourth branch of government, as we the people. And I don't even think the fourth branch of government is really a good name for it. I know Scalia mentioned it, and he picked it up from someplace else, he called it. We're more than a fourth branch of government. We are the kings or the people that rule over the other three branches. And the way we do this, of course, is through this common law grand jury. We very, very specifically and on purpose called our grand jury common law grand jury. We wanted them to understand that we were coming in under common law. We're not a citizen's jury. We're not just a people's jury. And the people, of course, would mean the same thing, but they wouldn't really understand that. We wanted them to know we are common law. And it was very important that we did it that way because they argued that position, and that gave us credibility. If we were to come in from another way, they might have tried to get us in from the corporate side to say we were mimicking or trying or coming in claiming to be some kind of a court or part of their commercial or corporate body. So we were very careful to put that word common there. Before we get into exactly where we're at and what we're doing, I want to cover a few problems. We've laid out procedures and processes. We've put together the framework. We've got tremendous amounts of educational material, teaching people numerous things, I mean, particularly in common law. We put up there some lectures by Bill Thornton, who really gives a good study lectures on the common law as far as going into the court and the process and so on. We've got some history up there. We've got a constitutional course. We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of written material, all the founding material, a lot of philosophical material, and so on. And we are trying to unify the country, the nation, shall I say. We're trying to unify all 3,141 counties. We don't want to dictate. We're very careful not to do that. And some who have been listening know and understand that we have a particular program that will prevent that ever happening. We are not a top-down group. We're a bottom-up, and we're trying to edify the bottom so that they can maintain their own. It's all about education. As Jefferson said, if a people won't expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So you have to become educated, and that's what we're trying to do. Meanwhile, we have to go forward and start to constitute these grand juries, and we're teaching people how to do that. And also how to take that power, deal with the paperwork, make the arguments, and so on. We also laid out the procedures and the process of an honorable way of going forward into our communities within our counties to constitute these grand juries with the people in mind, to bring it to the people and say, hey, come on, you want to go for this. And that's why we set up the program the way we did. Set up a stamp, the seal, the embrasa, and we want everyone to stay unified because it's important. And we put the right symbols on it. We put in Latin, in common law by the grace of God, or natural law by the grace of God in Latin on the inner ring. The outer ring said the grand jury, and it gave your state and your county, and the center number is a year, which is 1215, which identifies with the Magna Carta. Article 61 of the Magna Carta is, when you go read that, that is the grand jury in its infancy, okay? The Magna Carta, if you read 61. Originally, when they went to take the king's head, they were going to take the king's head. Either he signed the paper or they were going to kill him. And later on, they renegotiated that, and they promised that they would never take the life of the king or his family and so on and so forth. But they would go and take his castles and anything they did, they could get their hands on, and refuse him any of his will should he not behave and be the right king, which is one to represent the sovereignty of all sovereigns. And that was the purpose of the king, by the way. He was not to be a king, as you see on TV. It's a totally different thing. But in any event... That resetting of the way things worked, what they were doing is they were taking the king and they were going to take his life without due process. And that obviously is not good to common law. So that's why we have two juries. We have a grand jury and we have a common law grand jury. We have a trial jury. And I was listening a little bit on a laptop while I was trying to get things fixed here. And I heard Gerard talking a little bit about this, but I just want to cover this real quickly. And I think he covered the basics on this. And that is that when the grand jury is called into session, a court of record is opened. And now you have what is the King's Bench. And I wrote an article on the King's Bench. If you go up to nationallibertyalliance.org and you click on Jurist Documents and Services, and the first document is called, goodness, what is it called? I got to open this up. I forget the name that I named it. It wasn't the King's Bench. But anyway, when it opens up, I'll tell you what we called it. But it is the first document. And you might want to read this document. We've been doing a lot of studying, and all of a sudden something came to realization concerning the King's Bench. I'd seen this King's Bench come up numerous times, and I realized that there was a connection with a lot of the things we were doing with the jury and the trial jury, that the King's Bench is actually the jury box. That's the King's Bench, where this king himself is present, and his reflectors or his judges that will reflect his will, that's the King's Bench. And the king may or may not be at that bench, but his judges will reflect him. And we, the people, are at the bench on behalf of all the people to reflect the will of the people. And the will of the people is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence, and all that is understood by common law or natural law. That is the will of the people, and therefore we, the people, as we sit on these particular juries, will reflect the will of the people. And obviously the people that we've given the ability to be our servants are not reflecting that will, and we're going to need to correct these people. And so that's what we're doing here. The name of the document is called Extraordinary Remedies. That's the name of the document, Extraordinary Remedies. I suggest everybody read that document. It is extremely important to understand, and also to understand what's going on in the courts today. There is some, we may cover maybe a paragraph of that or two of that if we have the time tonight. If not, we will cover it next week. So that document is something you might want to read. I also put up there the federal grand jury is the fourth branch of government. That was Gerard had found this document some lawyer had written, and we were kind of surprised. I think he left the bar, so he apparently is one of us. And I also just recently put something up there, the judicial process. And this is a very good read, this judicial process thing. This is written by a judge and who's retired, and retired early, so he says. And so I took his most important parts of what he had said. It was a 98-page document, but I wanted to get the meat of that document. Although he did have some errors in some of his stuff, that was a problem too. But I really wanted to get into the courthouse experience. And so I put that out here. And anybody that's going through a parking ticket, a moving violation, or a weapons charge, or anything like that, this is a document you want to read. We also have another document. I think it's on this page. If not, you'll have to look on the site. It's up there. It's called Lost at Sea. If you're going to go into a court, you need to understand how these courts work and what's really going on. When we get our new site up, we're going to put a special page together to give people the insight of what's really going on and what these courts are made up, how to defeat these courts, what's the mindset to have to go into these courts and deal with these people. And we've been having some good successes, actually, in some high levels on this stuff. So we'll talk about that again later. Let me move over to some problems that we do have amongst our group. We have a presence in 48 of the 50 states presently, and we're becoming deeply rooted in most of those states. And of course, people maybe are not paying attention. It is the job of all the other coordinators or the organizers. If you're a county organizer, you need to be communicating with other county organizers. You need to be working together and organizing together. If you're a state coordinator, you need to be getting those county organizers together and coordinating them together so that they meet from time to time on Skype or something, or some program that they can use on the Internet, and maybe even come together in person from time to time. We've done that here in New York on at least one occasion. And we'll do it again eventually, soon. But, you know, you need to communicate. There's powers in numbers. United we stand, divided we fall. But we do have a lot of people. We have a lot of counties. Some people are not paying attention. And for those who are not paying attention, it's because they're not coming to these meetings, or they're not listening in, or they're not reading. Everything we talk about is really written down anyway at some point. Sometimes it lags. I mean, some things I say, and I mean, I get to writing it down to a month later, and some things I say, we've already written it down. But eventually it'll all get written down. And but right now, to stay on the really up to date, and to really grow and to come to an understanding of the process, the procedures, to see the errors that we might make and how we correct them, and so that you don't make those errors, and to realize that we do have a very good grip on exactly what we're doing. We know exactly what we're doing. And we do have a lot of individuals that give us some information from time to time that have more experience than us. So we do have a lot of counsel. None of them are lawyers and bar lawyers. But we've done a lot of research, and we don't do anything without the research. If we don't know the answer, we're not going to do it. You know, we may wing something here or there if we really have to, but basically we want to do our homework. We want to know exactly what we're doing. We want to know what's the right thing to do, and then we want to do it. Now, I'd like to bring some points up that I've seen out there, and people have to think about it. I'm not going attacking anyone. I'm not singling anyone out. Some of these things are happening in more than one place. But it is extremely important. If we're going to be successful, and we're going to be righteous, and we're going to stand on honor, and we're going to try to reestablish justice in our courtrooms, because that's the solution to every one of America's problems. and I mean that sincerely, every single one is corrected. When you bring the courts back to courts of justice, you have just now repaired the entire country, and everything that is wrong will disappear in very quick time. I promise you that. And if you think it out, you'll see it. Why? Because the grand jury has the authority to repair and fix all wrongdoing, whether it be in the political realms or the judicial realms. That's why. And anything wrong, anything you have to complain about, you don't have to get into politics. If you're going to get into politics, you need to find a different group. This is not a politics group. We're not going to argue issues. We're not going to debate what's good and bad for people when they want to make a decision. If someone wants to drink a beer or a bottle of whiskey or smoke some dope or put a needle in their arm, that's their business. Just don't do it in front of my children, because that's a wrongdoing, and you would be corrupting the morals of a mind to make sure that you will pay for that. So do it in the privacy of your own home. People don't go out and do immoral things in the streets, obviously, again, you know. So it's all with common sense. It's just common sense. But people have a right to be free. And if we're going to argue issues and say they can't, well, then someone's going to find something that you can't do, that you want to do. So you see the problem here. That's why being free is difficult. And being free and having liberty is a responsibility. It's a maturity. And we, the people, will become more and more mature as we start to exercise our freedom. We'll have no choice but to do that. And we will teach our children to be mature as they enter, as they exit their schools, as they graduate from the schools that we want them to go to that are well put together and well thought out, and will truly educate them and not indoctrinate them in some control thing like this government has done. So we have some groups that are bringing politics into the game. Do not bring political views into the game. This is about justice. It's only about justice. If you want to put on your politic hat, just don't come into the area or this arena bringing politics here. It doesn't belong here. We're not conservatives, we're not liberals, we're not Republicans, we're not Democrats. We don't believe that this is this and that is, we don't, look it, that's none of our business. We're concerned with justice. So please, no political views. No rulemaking. We're governed only by principles and maxims. We cannot put rulemaking on people. Again, I've heard and seen some people trying to make rules and stuff, and no. Get away from that. We're about principles. We're 25 people, sometimes less, if we dwindle away for some reason or another within our committee. But we are 25 people in a room trying to discover what is just for whatever it is that we're talking about. We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about being ruled by some rule that men put together, because that's what they do. We don't want to do that. No rulemaking. There must be no control. The unified grand jury exists only when called for, and to unite and to come to unite when dealing with a state issue. Every grand jury should be dealing with its own issues within its own counties. But when it's time to go deal with something on a state level, when you got to go to your capital and deal with the senators in your capital, or with your Congress in your capital. Okay, well, then you're going to want to go up with power, and you're going to want to collect all of the counties together and come to agreements on what we need to do to fix the problems in our capital. And then you come together and you call yourself the unified grand jury, and you have all the names on the top, all the counties on the top of the papers. If you look at our paperwork, you'll see how we did it. But the action of the unified grand jury is created by the grassroots. It's created by the county grand juries. The unified grand jury does not create the county grand juries. The county grand juries create the unified grand juries. And if you think about the logic of this, you can't. There are some that are talking the idea of going out there and creating a unified grand jury, and they're bypassing the grassroots. That's the problem. We don't want a top-down structure. It's got to be a grassroots structure. The grassroots control the unified grand jury, whoever is holding that pen for the purpose of writing a letter only and to make the point that you're coming unified. If you do an indictment on a state level with all of the counties in your state, Well, you're not going to call yourself the unified grand jury in that process. You're going to call yourself the grand jury of this state, and then you're going to have every county seal on there with the signature of one person from every county. And that's how you're coming together. But when you're writing a letter on behalf of the grand jury, you're either one of two things. If you're doing it with the will of all of the grand juries of the state, in other words, we've come together, we discussed, we decided what we're going to do, we voted on it, and we go forward, and now someone has to write letters to execute whatever the will of the unified grand jury is, then they will be administrator of the grand jury. That's what their title is, administrator. Never on a letter do you call yourself a foreman. Letter, never on on any kind of communication do you call yourself a foreman. A foreman, the only time a foreman identifies themselves as a foreman is when you do a true bill. That's it. Never, ever, ever any other place. Your title, if you are one of the administrators, is an administrator. The administrators don't necessarily sit on a grand jury. Clearly, the administrators, because they're the investigators, they cannot sit on a trial jury because they're already biased. They already believe the person's guilty, so they can't sit on the trial jury. They can sit on the grand jury because they're bringing that information to the full grand jury, but that grand jury might have to work for a whole week or two, and all four of those administrators may not be able to sit on that grand jury because they have other juries that are being pulled in, or work to be done, phone calls to be made, people calling in, paperwork to be done. So in the beginning, I think we will want to try to sit on the grand jury as we straighten the problems, the major problems out with our state. We want to get access into the courts. We want to straighten out the judge. We want to straighten out the prosecutor. And we want to enlighten the sheriff. And once that's done, we're not going to have a lot of time to be sitting on grand juries. We're going to be more or less administrating to the grand jury, orientating the grand jury, and responding to the needs of the grand jury since they have questions and they need advice. We're the advisors for them as they do their thing. We're also the investigators, and we'll be bringing them cases and expounding it to them. Now, it could be a good idea to maybe one of those administrators to try to sit on that grand jury. I don't know that all four can continue. It'll be too much work. We have other jobs to be doing. But we do have to keep an eye on the grand jury and, you know, be able to answer their questions and make sure that we orientate them right so they understand what their job is and that they're operating under principles and guided by two maxims. And once that's clear in their mind, they are the people. Just like you are the people, they are the people. But if you do sit on the grand jury, and if all four of you sit on the grand jury, we're teaching four administrators each county, then those people should not necessarily be the foreman. Because then they'll say, well, you see, you're stacking the jury and you're taking control. They will say that. There's no need to be a foreman. A foreman doesn't have any more authority or any more power than anyone else on that jury. The only thing that the foreman can do is he's got that little hammer, if we give him one, you know, a little humor. But he's got that little hammer to say, okay, order in the room here. Let's take one at a time. Joe, you go first. What's on your mind? Okay, Mary, you're next. Fred, yeah, I saw you were before. Go ahead. You go. That's all it is. It's a traffic cop. They don't get to say, oh, we're only going to give you 2 minutes. No, they're going to get as much time as they want. Someone may take 10 minutes and someone may take 2 minutes, you know. But whatever it is, you know, the conversation of the 25 in that room is what it's all about. Figuring out how you're going to deal with that problem that's before you, whatever that might be. And you should not be influenced by anyone outside, nor shall one person influence the whole. This is extremely important. Otherwise, we will only become them. And this is what we're trying to get away from. So don't create any rules, and please, you got to create the county grand juries. Wherever there's a courthouse that's supposed to be a common law court, there needs to be four administrators administrating to the necessities that are required to create the grand juries and the trial juries. So the foremans also must change every time. You know, four people come together and you may feel that, you know, you got to take that hammer for some reason, but you'll see someone come in and they're very well qualified to take that hammer. Give it to them. Don't you keep it. Give it to them. Again, they have no more power than anyone else. If someone's obnoxious on the grand jury, anybody can say, hey, this guy, look, you got to act right. You're not acting on the principles you signed a paper to agree to. You're not being guided by the maxims that we talked about. And you got to pay attention to those things. And then they still go off, and they're obnoxious. Well, then you say, hey, look, I vote to get rid of this guy. And you take a vote, and if you got popular vote, they're out of there. You go on with 24, with 23, 22, 21. We were looking to discover what is the minimum grand juries. What is the minimum amount of people for a grand jury? And we've seen all kinds of numbers, or as far down as 7, okay? And so I don't know that we necessarily want to take statutory juries, puppet juries, and government-controlled juries and run the way they normally run. We need to develop an idea of what we think. And I'm thinking maybe 12. 12 might be the minimum. If we fall below 12, then we got to reconstitute. But 12 is the minimum. You start off with 25, and you could lose someone. Someone gets the flu. And once they're out, they can't come back in because they can't catch up to what they've missed. Someone is obnoxious, you get rid of them. Someone just doesn't show back up. Okay, so you might dwindle down to 18, 19, 17, whatever it is. But the minimum, I think, is 12. That's what I'm going to suggest. I think every grand jury is going to have to figure that out on their own. But anyway, that's what we're putting forward. Let's see. Notaries. I know there were some people with concerns with notaries. Notaries go way back, way, way back, and they are part of the common law process and procedure. They've always been part. They're magistrates. So we do use notaries. I know there is a movement to talk about using the thumbprint and some other things. And I know heard Gerard cover a little bit of stuff about people coming in from off the soil and so on and so forth. We don't want to get into strange things that people just are going to frown about. I mean, there's some truth to all that, but we don't have to articulate it. We're the people. This is a court of record, and we're in charge. That's all there is. And that's how we come in. And the people, we're going to pull as many people as we can to get into this process. We do not subscribe to the fraud or the fiction, so we ignore it. We're careful. I'm very careful when I go into a courtroom and how we talk and how we project whatever it is we want to articulate. But as far as I'm concerned, this is the English language, and we had it first before these parasites came in and robbed our language and made things mean something else. The citizen that they use is a slave under the 14th Amendment, okay? But our founding fathers used the word citizen, and I recall reading somewhere where they even recall used the idea of the word sovereign citizen. And I know in the Constitution the word citizen is used, and none of it is meant to be a slave. Never. Okay, it's not till the 14th Amendment and the thing that took place during the Civil War, and then they got rid of the 13th Amendment, and they played that smoke and mirrors games, with the cups and so on. But look at all that's fraud. It's irrelevant. It's null and void. Marbury versus Madison, or maybe that's Madison versus Marbury. I think it is Madison versus Marbury. It's null and void. It's meaningless. It's irrelevant. So when we reestablish our positions and our understandings in the court, we're not going to get lost in their language. We're just going to speak as regular people do, and we're not going to allow the fiction to have any merit. And the grand jury is a court of record. When the grand jury is open, it's a court of record. And I think I started to say this, but I don't know that I finished this. The grand jury, once it opens up for, it comes into, when it impanels itself, when it comes into session, the court of record is open. The king's bench is open. That grand jury has the power to arrest someone. They have the power on contempt. They have the power to arrest or fine for contempt. They have the power to investigate without any restrictions. They can walk into any government office anywhere on their soil. They can walk right up to a desk and say, can you please move over, and go right into their computer. They can open up their drawers and look into their drawers. They can go through their papers and through their files. They can do it. We're the boss. It's our office. We have the total 100% power and authority to investigate anything. We don't ask for anything. We go in and we just take it and look at it. We command, where are these files held at? We don't take no for an answer. If they want to be held in contempt, then we'll hold them in contempt and we'll deal with that. The power and the authority to arrest and fine for contempt is part of the grand jury. Once the grand jury is in session, like I said, a court of record has been open, and that court of record remains open until one of two things happens. Either the grand jury finds nothing and closes the case, grand jury the court of record is closed, and a record is made, and that's it. You move on. If something is found, it then passes it into the trial jury through the judicial process, through the clerk. And so that court of record remains open, and it doesn't get closed until a trial jury comes up with a decision, and they judge both facts and law. Okay, so I think that's about it with problems. Again, please, let's don't anyone make rules for other people. Okay, we have principles, we have maxims. That's what governs us. It's called justice. It's righteousness. It's natural law. That's what's going to govern us. And the only kind of rule you might want to make is say, well, we're going to meet at 6 o'clock, or we're going to meet at 2 o'clock. You know, we're going to do this on Tuesday, or that's the rule. That's about it. I mean, there are no rules. And again, you can't create a top-down jury. You cannot create a unified jury. How can you have a unified jury if you have nothing to unify it, if you haven't created the county juries? And remember, once the county juries are created, it's the county juries that create that pinnacle of a unified jury. And a unified jury is, again, only for the purpose of writing letters. That's it. And it acts as a unified jury. It's going to use stamps, and it's going to get one signature per stamp, or seal, shall I say. All right, before I move to the next item here, I see Gerard's got his hand up. Did you want to say something, Gerard?
I just wanted to reiterate that 12 is a magic number when it comes to Pettit juries, at least. And so I would think that that's a good number with the grand jury also. They did studies throughout the years of juries, and they found out that 12 was the number that gave a cross-cut of the community, that you had like a mathematical chance of like a 5/100,000, you know, 0.005 chance of being wrongfully convicted. And we'd mentioned that earlier, and I just wanted to throw that back in there and reinforce that.
All right. Yeah, and that's why we came up with the number 12, because of the fact that 12 is the number of the trial jury. But again, each group is going to have to figure that out on their own, on how that's going to work. I think we're going to find that most of our work is going to be done by four administrators, because those four administrators are pretty much the arbitrators, and you're going to settle a lot of deals that will never have to go to a grand jury. And if at all possible, you settle the deal, and you get justice done. And if not, then you got to call the grand jury in and then go through the process of explaining to them everything so that they can make a decision and so on in the case. And I would think at least one of the four administrators will always have to be with the grand jury, now that I think about it, because remember, the four administrators went out to do the investigation, and they're bringing all the evidence and the different witnesses and explaining things. And so there's always someone there, you know, giving the information and answering questions that the grand jury would have. So there'll always be one administrator on that grand jury. That seems to make sense. But that person should not be the foreman unless they have to be, okay? If you really have to be the foreman, then you are. I wanted to cover just one thing real quick, and then I'm looking for this right now. I'm going to have to open it up here. I want to look at extraordinary remedies, and I want to read one or two paragraphs here. And again, everyone should read this. I called it the extraordinary remedies, and then I labeled it on the top the King's Bench, because that's the focus. The focus is on the King's Bench. It's on the grand jury. It's on the trial jury. So go through this, and maybe next week people will have questions and thoughts and ideas about this, and we could discuss it further. But What I wanted to read, if I could find this quick, I had this paper laying around. I don't know where that paper's at. I printed out, but let me see. Let me read the conclusion, and then there's something else I wanted to read about that's very important that people understand. But let me read the conclusion. The King's Bench is the seat of the tribunal, the judge, for the Supreme Court of Common Law. That's the Supreme Court of your state. That's the tribunal. And a court of record requires a tribunal. That's the judge, and that's the sovereign of the court. And it is outside of the court during the investigative mode, it's the grand jury. Inside the court during the trial part of the mode, it's the trial jury. The judge doesn't get a chance to be a judge. He's actually a justice, and he's to reflect the desire and the will of the sovereign, which is the juries. He's not to tamper with the juries. He can't instruct the juries. The juries will instruct him if they have to. Okay? They'll do it, you know, outside the court, of court. Of course, they don't want to do it in an open court. The King's Bench is the seat of the tribunal, the judge, for the Supreme Court of the Common Law, court of record, made up of one or more sovereigns, with the power to fine or imprison for contempt, and functions independently of the person of the magistrate. That's what we call the judge. He doesn't get, the servant does not get the opportunity to judge a king. Only kings can judge kings, and you need at least 12. Therefore, the King's Bench can only be the jury, grand or petite, or the sovereign of the court. Whenever, and that could be the plaintiff, whenever the King's Bench is impaneled by the people, a court of record is open, whether it is in its investigative role, grand jury, or in its trial mode, petite jury. Its authority, power, judgments, and jurisdiction is final and cannot be challenged or overturned. All courts not of record, without the King's Bench, that is, are inferior courts, whose jurisdiction is limited and special, and whose proceedings are not according to the course of the common law. Criminal courts proceed according to statutory law. Jurisdictions and procedure is defined by statutes. Likewise, civil courts, admiralty courts proceed according to statutory law. Any court proceeding according to statutory law is not a court of record, which only proceeds according to common law. It is an inferior court. Right, that's the only thing I'm going to read, because that was really what I was looking for. What you need to understand is every court operating in the United States, in every state level, in every town level, city level, county level, state level, and even on the United States level, every single one of them are operating as statutory. Whenever you go into courts, they'll always make their arguments according to statutes. You'll bring up principles, you'll bring up other things, and they won't recognize them. Okay, and they will not rule a case over a Supreme Court ruling. They'll rule according to statutes. They're governed by statutes. They're slaves to the statutes. And they want us to be slaves to the statutes. That is not a common law court. And as long as you resist that jurisdiction and you can articulate the fact that it is under corporate charter and not under constitutional, it's not a constitutional court, and that they had taken oaths to run, to obey the Constitution, I'm one of the people, I'm telling you, you better give me my constitution, which is represents my unalienable rights. Otherwise, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to take criminal charges against you. You see, that's how you will win in a court that is not of record in these days. And it's an uphill battle, and anybody that's in the courts knows it. But with these principles and this understanding, you can win the probate courts, you can win in the family courts, and you can win in the town courts. And you can win in the county courts, you can win in the smaller city courts, but when it comes into the Supreme Court of your state or the city courts, the large city courts, you're going to have a really tough time. But you can win there too, but it's hard, it's difficult. But anyway, this particular study here, it's only about 8 pages. People should read through it. And as a matter of fact, for those who don't know, our Juris Document page is put there for the purpose of teaching people. And we have a lot of stuff here. We have, again, we have the judicial process. We have talking points with county and court clerks. We have how to form a grand jury is up here. Trial by jury, I believe that's done by Spooner. It's MP3s. It's like about 15 hours of MP3s. If you haven't listened to that, you got to listen to that. It's trial by jury. We have the jurist oath up here, authorities, U.S. versus Williams. The jurist handbook is an extremely important book. We wrote this. If anybody who sits down and reads that book through and really works on studying that book and going through it over and over and over again, you're almost ready to go to court, because these are all the principles of common law, a lot of information of different rulings that support common law. Anyway, we have a lot of information on this page. We will be adding more and more. And again, once we get the new site up, we're going to create special pages for certain things, and to really give some, you know, focus on different things that everyone needs to become educated on. We also did a paper, which is a rebuttal. I think I talked about this last week, but I don't remember. But we did a rebuttal paper, and we looked through the different newspapers and different arguments that people have made, lawyers have made, and they don't have very much. And then we addressed all of those issues to show that their argument is totally feeble, and they have absolutely no foundation to stand upon, and they never bring up any authority. But with our paper and our rebuttal, we give mountains of authorities. So it just shows that they have nothing. How dare do they think that they can step up and deny the people their right to take their seat within their court? This is our court. This doesn't belong to the judge. This doesn't belong to the government. This is the people's court. This is the court of justice. This is what America is all about. This is what defines our liberty. And we need justice to define our liberty. All right, with that, I guess we'll open the mic up. Mike, you got the mic.
Hey, I recognize that a lot of people here are really angry with the courts. And when it comes to common law grand juries, you got to get your mind right with the grand jury. You are there to do business. This is a strictly business thing. Anything that pissed you off in the past has to be pushed aside and left alone. That's your personal issue that you will take up with the courts in your common law complaint. But while you're dealing with this, you need to make sure that you know this is business. We need to act professional. And I see a lot of anger channeling up through the chat room here, and you just have to move on. You have to get over that. I mean, God wants you to do what is right, and you know what is right. And if we work at this as a business, we will do very well with it. Attitude is everything. You have to really concentrate on how you deal with your personal attitude. I thank you guys.
All right, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that, and I agree with that 100%, and that is true. And what we need to do, maybe we'll get some more administrators. Gerard, let's try to find another administrator to work with us, or a couple administrators, we'll watch the text chat. When someone starts to take the discussion away into an argument or into personal concerns, as Mike had mentioned, we need administrators out there to tell them, hey, look, you know, let's focus in on and get on point. This is about justice. It's about honor. It's about mercy. Those are the principles. It isn't about our personal cases, as Michael has mentioned. Exactly. That we'll deal with later. I got a lot of problems and situations I'm going to deal with, but I'm not going to deal with them now. We have the business of saving the republic. That's what our focus. That's the prize, saving the republic. Once the republic is saved, we'll be open to the public, and a lot of our cases we'll be able to take into the common law court, and get justice in our court right there. We may not have to take that to the grand jury, but in some cases it may have to be taken to the grand jury. I know some probate cases, they got to go to the grand jury. I know some family court cases. They got to go to the grand jury. The grand jury's got to do some. I could tell you, and we got to learn the power of the grand jury, the power of the writ, the extraordinary writ. If you, when you make that study, that 8-page study, you're going to discover the extraordinary writ came from the king's bench. This is the king's writs, the power to bring remedy by a writ. In other words, the grand jury, if they see, let's take a family court problem where there's an unrighteous situation with a child that's being prevented, the father's being prevented from seeing the child. Let's take something like that. Well, the grand jury has the ability to write habeas corpus, produce the child right now, and bring this thing back to order where both parents should share that child. How dare the court prevent a father or a mother from seeing that child? Everybody's going to have to figure these problems out on your own neighborhoods, and we got to deal with this because family court is out of control. Probate court is out of control. They're destructive to families. They destroy families. They rob families, and they're all coming in under admiralty, under statutes. They're making the claim on the people's on the people themselves, and making money on them, and they'll keep them there forever in these courts. They don't let them go. We got to do major changes. I have a lot to say about family courts and probate courts, and we're going to talk about that in the future because I'm going to suggest some things we need to do, and then everybody in their state collectively needs to work out how their family courts and how their probate courts really should work. And we need to be talking to the legislators and fix this problem because it is a serious problem. They are destroying the family. When they're born, they're destroying the family, the home, and separating the children from their parents. And they're destroying the family in the twilight of their times when your parents are you know, spending their last days. They create hell for them, and they rob them of everything they got. I don't want to get too deep into that. I just hear these horror stories, and they need to be fixed. And you're going to be hearing these horror stories once you get sitting in that courtroom and start to try to figure out these problems. But Michael's absolutely right, and let's keep the text chat focused on the conversation. Let's make it conversations of order. Let's try to build each other up, edify each other, and find solutions. Daryl, go right ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment. Actually, I've had problems in the past with the court system, and even now I know there's things that the courts and our government's getting away with that I feel is unconstitutional, or that is unconstitutional. But the problem is, I don't know the common law well enough to keep myself out of trouble.
Well, that's a good point. And again, you know, I know people are talking about having meetings and doing things and discussing things. And I'll tell you what, for right now, if you're going to have meetings about how to get grand juries elected in your county, and then how to get grand juries elected in the counties next door, how are we going to communicate together, how are we going to organize, those are the meetings you need to have. And if you want to come together for a meeting, come together to educate yourself. Go listen to Thornton's tapes. Anybody that wants to grow in this, go to our Common Law page. We're going to make this a lot clearer and easier when we get the new site up. We can't spend the time to reorganize some things on the old site. It doesn't make any sense. So, but we'll make it a little more clearer. But look, you want to go into the jurist orientation page, okay? If you haven't done that four-hour course, go through it. At the end of that course, it'll lead you right to how to create a grand jury in your county. It'll give instructions both by video and in writing, give you all the paperwork and everything you need to know. Okay? So that's the first order of business. Second order of business, you should be clicking on the Common Law page. Okay? That Common Law page has videos, audio, all kinds of stuff. And start from the top and work down. Get through it. We have a history page. Go to the history. Learn real American history. And I'll tell you what, you should also, every day you should be reading some of the documents on the Juris Document page. We're writing things, you know, live right now for what's important today, what we're doing. Okay, that's where you can get up to date. Also, you know, how to write these papers, how to communicate, you know, go read Breaking News. Start from the bottom. If you haven't read everything on Breaking News page, go to Breaking News, start on the bottom, and read up, because it's in chronological order. The last thing we've done is on the top. The first thing, obviously, is on the bottom. So start from the bottom and work your way up. Follow through the process. See what we've done. Look for the logic. Look what we're doing. And, you know, we haven't discussed, and maybe we should discuss now, our program of what we're going to do next. We are going, and I think I heard Gerard say some of this stuff, we're going to go to the clerk, and we're going to put the clerk on the spot. We're doing an investigation. We're going to find exactly why that they have not put the indictment through. How come the press has not been notified that an indictment of the two highest judges in New York State is under indictment and nobody knows about it? Why is that? Because, you see, any time an indictment is put in, the press is to be notified. That's protocol. The people need to know, but they don't know. So we want to know why that didn't happen. We also want to know, is there a time stamp on that? Where is the indictment that we filed up in Greene County? Where is it? It's in the file? Can we see it? We want a copy of that. We want a certified copy. Oh, well, I can't. You know, well, are you telling me it's not in the file? You know, we got a lot of questions. We want to find out exactly where that's at. And if they pull up a paper and they show, and it doesn't have a time stamp on it, then that's the clerk. The clerk is the guilty. She's in a rescue mode. She's rescuing the judges that we indicted. We indicted four, two of the top ones. She's rescuing them. When she writes a letter and says, well, I'm only doing what I'm told, well, then you're in conspiracy because they're conspirators. They've been indicted. You see, we have to go communicate with this clerk. We need to make this clerk understand what the truth is about the situation, and she's going to have to make a decision. You're going to stand here or you're going to stand there, okay? And if she is obstructing justice, or maybe it's the judge that's obstructing the justice, maybe she's got the thing, the papers, it's filed, it's stamped, it's in the paper, and she can't do nothing because now it's up to the judge to pick it up, sign the paper, and move it to the prosecutor, and he didn't do that. Why didn't he do that? We're going to have to talk with him. And if he's not available, well, that's fine. Silence is guilt. When it is a duty, when it is your duty to speak and you don't speak, then you're guilty and you're part of the crime and you're part of the problem and you're part of the conspiracy and you need to be indicted. And that's what we're going to do to these judges and that's what we're going to do to these clerk. That is sort of an extra little pressure we're going to use here. As a matter of fact, there's two of them. Okay? We're going up there with a group of people. Hopefully we're going to have two notaries with us, and we are going to document every word that falls out of the mouth of these people and whatever their answer or non-answer is that we ask. And we're going to reveal the crime by affidavit on paper. And that's a crime if someone, and we're going to show that in New York law, we've got lots of statutes in New York law that talks about rescuing in the sense, it doesn't use the word rescue, but this is criminal rescue. This is felony rescue. That is what it is. But it talks about obstructing justice. It talks about obliterating papers, documents that should be flowing through the process. It talks about hiding them, burying them, removing them, destroying them, mutilating them, mailing them back, all those things. What's going on here? Which one of those apply, and who's the applicator of that, that's applying that? And that is a crime. And we will take the sworn affidavits of a number of people under the authority of the investigation of the grand jury, and we're going to take the laws, and we're going to go pay a visit to the Greene County Sheriff. And he's going to do his duty. We are going to report a law that has been broken, a criminal activity, and he now has a duty to go and arrest either the judge or the clerk for rescue, for felony rescue, for obstruction of justice, and many other things. Okay? We need him to arrest immediately that individual. And if the sheriff refuses, we need to talk to your undersheriff. What do you want to talk to him for? Because we're going to have you arrested too. So can you please go get the undersheriff? Okay, we'll go right down to the deputies. We don't care. But we will go down that process. And if we don't get anyone elected through all those people, we'll be taking notes and we'll be taking names and we'll be making affidavits. and we will bring that before the grand jury, and we will indict every single one of those people, and then we'll move to the next step. You see, this is the pressure, and we got a clogged septic pipe, and we need to put pressure on that pipe to push it down into the septic system, and we're going to do that. Now, on top of all this, some people have said that we should use the writ of mandamus. And we did not want to use the writ of mandamus because we had used it before and we had nothing but problem with it. And we were under the understanding that we would have to go to another higher court, higher than the court that we're trying to make obey, and to have them write a writ of mandamus to command them to do the right thing. But we know they're not going to do that. We know they're going to take opportunity of that. And now we're under their judgment, and they're going to make a ruling, and they're going to silence us, and they'll find us in contempt and put us in jail if we don't stop this nonsense of creating common law grand juries. So we're not going to go under their jurisdiction. They have no law to come out after us, but they could get us for contempt, and they could hold us in jail for that. Even though that's evil and wrong, nevertheless, they'll do it because they got to do something because they're frightened to death. So we can't go in on that. But when we realize the King's Bench and that these writs come forward from the King's Bench, we don't have to go to them. We're going to write our own writ of mandamus. We command, under penalty of indictment, penalty of the law, we command. You either do it or you get indicted. So we're going to utilize that writ, too. We met here in New York last night, and we went through the discussion of all of the different possibilities, and you know, it may be the clerk, it may be the judge, it may be this one, but we got the approval from the whole to do whatever writing we have to do. We're going to write the writ of mandamus, and then we're going to apply that. We're going to do the investigation. We all agreed on that, and we're going to go try to put people in jail through the fact that we are witnesses to a crime, and the sheriff now has to do his duty. And so on. So all of this is part of the process, and we'll report more on this next week. And I'm saying that we're probably going to go down tomorrow at 1:15 p.m. Up to Greene County, and we're going to do this investigation. That's the plan right now. And anybody from New York that can join us, please get a hold of me or Gerard after tonight's meeting and let us know that you want to join us. We do need a few people with us, and we need some notaries. But anyway, I did want to bring that up. I'd forgotten to bring that up. But anyway, Steely, go right ahead.
Greetings, all. This is my first conference. I want to get a quick check. Can everybody hear me all right? In the conference room? All right. First of all, I want to say how much I appreciate everything that John and the National Liberty Alliance have been doing. This is fantastic, and I'm going to be going forward in my county to get everything done. However, I have a personal issue that hopefully you can help me with. My wife is in Canada, and we've filed for all the paperwork to get her to come in here with her visa. And part of the thing is part of the paperwork is to say that you need to have, you know, appropriate funds to support her, which I can prove. However, they also want 3 years of IRS tax returns, which I've learned long ago was a private organization that I have not been filing. Should I go up there, which I'm going to go visit her, and come back and they try to deny us entry, is there something that I can do with the Citizens Grand Jury to indict those people who are impeding our right to pursuit of happiness, etc.? And so on. Is there something that I can do to proclaim our sovereignty dwelling in the state of Tennessee to expedite the process, because it's a long process, currently 7 to 10 months backlog on the procedure?
Right. Just to let you know, you got to drop the mic. You have to hit that button again in order for someone else to pick the mic back up. But look at, you know, the legislators make the rules and the laws and the requirements of what needs to be done for someone to come into this country. And I know it's been long done You know, if you one of the spouses is living in the country, you should be able to bring your spouse in. You should be able to get them very quickly. The same thing with children, providing one of you is an American citizen. And I guess I'll use that loosely. Yeah, the IRS has no play with this. The common law grand jury would protect you on that and tell them to go to Hades, because that can't be a requirement. If you're working, you're working. I don't even know if that is part of the requirements. Maybe it is, and, you know, it's your spouse. But, again, if there's a requirement, then you can produce the fact that you have a home and that you're paying the bills and you have some references, I guess, and you're working a job, whether it's your own business or not. The IRS doesn't come to play in here. Of course, they stick their nose everywhere. And I know the people are going to deal with the IRS in due time. I don't need to get into that discussion. It's not a wise discussion to get into the moment. But I think everybody knows here what has to be done with them. We'll work that out. So, yeah, once we get common law grand juries, you will be protected, and as long as everything is up and up with whatever the laws are, and I think they would be, you would get in, and we would help you. If, matter of fact, it'd be as simple as writing a habeas corpus. The grand jury that's going to protect you would write a habeas corpus, produce that body in front of us right now on this carpet within the next 72 hours or whatever. And once they're there, they've taken the body. Now they can release the body. It's that simple. The king has spoken. Now, again, you know, they're going to want to obey the law. I mean, they can't just bypass whatever the rules and laws are the legislators put together. But certainly if some foreign corporation that's destructive to the American life, called the three-letter company that you mentioned, has anything to say, they have nothing to say. And nobody can require anyone to produce any papers to those people. And I'm sure that all the people know that. So that'll be worked out. What you have to do is push the grand jury in your county and push it in your state. Let's take control, and then you can deal with that problem. Meanwhile, you'll have to deal with these SOBs as best you can until then. I don't know of anything else. Michael, go right ahead.
With Article 26 of the IRS code, you are exempt from filing any information with them, and all you have to do is tell them you are exempt under Article 26 of the IRS code. I learned that today. God bless you, man. I hope you can get your wife home. I think that we really need to have a proper attitude about the whole thing, and we need to really have a lot of these folks listen to the Constitution by Michael Barnish and Bill Thornton's work that we have up here. A lot of the questions I'm hearing here are already answered in that information that's already at National Liberty Alliance. You need to invest the time. I'm sorry if you got to turn off the football game or the basketball game or even miss some time with your kids to learn this information, because your kids will not have this country unless we all know the information, understand common law, and make this thing happen.
Well, amen. Thank you, Mike. I do want to, unfortunately, depress you. It's not as simple as saying that you are not required to participate with the IRS under Title 26. Believe me, they will eat you up and have you for breakfast, and then have you for lunch, and then have you for dinner. Once they come out after you, they are relentless. They will not stop. And I'm sorry to tell people that, but that's the way it is. Very few people have had successes with the IRS. Very few. We know how to have success against the IRS, and we can teach, but that's not what we're here for. But we will assist a little bit. It really is all about learning common law, and you have to learn what they're about. They're under a corporate charter. You have to understand that. We have a paper. If you really want to understand this, this is what you got to do. Get going on common law. Get to our common law page and exhaust everything on that. But don't just stay on that. Mix yourself up with some other things. We have a paper up online. It's called Lost at Sea. If you want to understand what's really going on, go read that paper, Lost at Sea. I think it's up on the Juris Document page, but it may be on another document page. So go take a look at that, read that. Bone up on it. Read the Extraordinary Remedies. Inside that paper there's a few clues, that you'll see in there of what's going on and who these people are and how to control them by understanding them. There's also the judicial process. That's 8 pages. That'll also give you some more insight. You have to understand how to fight these people. And if you're going to go after them, the key to the whole thing is there are two forms. It's Form 56, and it is another Form 44. Oh, goodness, I forget that number, 44-something. If someone needs to know that, they can call me personally, and I'll let them know what that is. One is for a fiduciary relationship. And the other one is for a sworn affidavit that a bill has been created and that you owe a particular amount of money. And that needs to be filed. Both of these forms need to be filed in the federal district court in whatever district you're in. And what they do is they'll come out and they'll do a lien. And it's really a notice of lien. It's not a real lien. It's a phony lien. And the clerk will file that lien anyway. They're susceptible to a lawsuit. You can sue them and file criminal charges against the clerk. But that's what they'll do. They'll file that lien, and then they'll come. The sheriff will come out and take everything you own. And there are ways to stop that. But if you're going to do it, if you think you're going to do it and not have the knowledge, there's no magic paper to do it. There's no magic bullet. You have to have the knowledge. You have to understand what they're doing and how they're doing it. And the key to the whole thing is that lien is being done in a process called in rem. In rem identifies with Admiralty Court system. It identifies with being out at sea. In rem is the ability of a nation to seize a ship without having to go due process on whoever or what country or individual owns it. They take control of that in rem. They seize it under the Piracy Acts. Okay? And when your ship comes into port, you're protected under another act. It's called I forget what it's called. Safe Harbor Act. That's what it's called, the Safe Harbor Act. And you're protected while you're in port. But the moment you go back out to sea, they can seize your ship. Now, they are going out after us Americans here on land under those rules, under those laws, because they got a corporate charter. And that's what you have to understand. Now, in order for them to go out after you in rem here on soil, and probably at sea too, there's something else, but I'm not sure exactly how that works, but here on the land, they have to file those two forms. They have to have fiduciary authority over your estate, and they have to have a sworn affidavit of a bill that has been created, and those two papers you will never find filed. And that's the secret, if you understand that. But you better do some studying before you go in and fight these people, because they will just eat you right up. If you don't have the ability to fight them, you better pay them and just keep working on the grand jury. But before you fight these people, you better be able to win that war, because they will put you in jail. They will take everything you have, and they will put you in jail. So just be careful with that one. But we have enough information on our site to deal with that. And once you get a good understanding of common law, you get an understanding of the corporate charter that they're under, you understand what we're talking about when we're talking about being lost at sea and all these statutes. Once you get a good grip on that, then we can kind of give you some tidbits that you'll be able to deal with it then. Donald, go right ahead.
Good evening, everybody. I definitely agree with you, John. This is the best port in the storm. Well, proud to announce that we have constituted Winston County, Alabama. Mr. Breland, my friend Knighton there, is the organizer for Winston County now, and he's going to be learning more stuff, and we'll be working with him on that. So you can check us down. For another thing, I'll send you the email on that information pretty soon. Just wanted to announce that, and looking forward to the new website and getting those passwords hopefully pretty soon to see who all the jurists are in each of our states.
All right, for any state that has a state organizer, that state organizer will be listed up on our state organizer page. You can find that by going to the county organizer page, and below the organizers, you'll see click here to find your state organizer. And anybody that is a state organizer on this page, I believe right now we have 29 state organizers. All of those organizers can send a request to support at nationallibertyalliance.org. That's support at nationallibertyalliance.org. And Carl will send you a list of every person in your state by county and all that information. He'll send you a list of those people so that the state coordinators can work with the county coordinators, especially when they want to contact people to come to the election. You'll want to contact people on that list, either in or around that county. Once a county organizer constituted a grand jury in their county, then at that point the state organizer will make sure that they have access straight out to the entire state list of everyone in the state that has signed up on our registry. That's really not available right now, so you'll have to just go through the state organizer. Once we get the new site up, that will be available. You'll be able to get access. All we have to do is give you a username and password, and you'll be able to get in and get that information. So any constituted grand jury will have direct access into the registry for their state, the entire state, and they'll be able to call people anywhere in that state. Now, our registry is being built up as a first call registry. So when we need juries, grand juries or trial juries, that'll be the first place we'll go to call those people up. But once we exhaust through that list, we'll then go to the voters list. That's what we're going to suggest to work with. So you go to the voters list. And when you get the voters list, if you look on the list, you'll see who's active and who isn't. So you call the active people. That's the first order of people. And you have plenty of people. That's the people. And you bring them in and you're going to teach them. You're going to give them 4 hours of orientation and teaching them the principles and the maxims and talk with these people and make sure they have the right mindset before they go forward to do the job that they have to do. And people will respond to this once they understand this is serious business. We got someone's life in our hands, and we're going to be discussing that, and we better be doing the right thing. We have to act with a sense of honor, with a sense of justice, with a sense of mercy. And then we'll be able to sleep that night because we know we'll make the best decision we possibly can. And when people come to that realization, I think they sober up. I think people, when they come to be a jurist, I think they take it very serious. And when you give them the proper tools and the proper mindset, I think they're going to take that very serious. If not, we're not going to survive as a nation. But I believe we will. I believe people are going to take that serious. And we're going to train our children, you know, to be good citizens, good people, to give back on their own without, you know, no one's going to tell them what they got to do. But just out of the goodness of their heart, every person at some point in their life should be a committee man one time for a two-year period. It's a commitment of one day a month for 2 years. Big deal. You can do it. We can all do it. It's in the evening anyway. Everyone can do that. It's our duty. Everybody should answer the call to the jury if possible. You know, maybe you have a special business deal coming up when they need you, and, I can't make it. I got a deal. I got to work things out. I can't leave. Well, we'll put you back on the list. We'll give you a call maybe in a month or so for the next time around. Okay? But everybody needs to do their duty. Everybody should be doing it with a sense of honor, realizing I'm thankful they called me up, and I'm going to go do the right thing, and I'm going to, you know, participate in what makes this country great. Okay, and this is the attitude we have to bring back to the people, because we've been trained as slaves, we've been destroyed, we've been demoralized, we've been taught only to learn through tweets. Nobody reads anymore. Nobody thinks. Everybody's looking for someone to tell them what to do because they don't think for themselves. You know, we have to realize this and just start thinking and start doing and start reading. And we need to we need to educate our children. We need to re-educate ourselves. And we're doomed if we don't do that. We are totally doomed. So if you're not interested in saving the Republic, just continue what you're doing. If you're interested, it's time to roll up your sleeves and let's do. Jason Berg, go right ahead.
Yes, John. John, thank you so much. Just to bring up, I'm just really glad that you're going to be having the different information and the website for other information, which is fantastic. I just wanted to say that the Hudson County had its meeting. We did our due diligence. Unfortunately, they never published it, but at least we did our emails out, and that was proof enough that we did have a meeting. So we're on our way to do stuff. We're going to have another meeting just to be safe, on the safe side. Again, the more you do, the more you have. The more you have, the less they can prove that you haven't been doing your job. Out.
All right. I presume, Jason, what you mean by the meeting is that you had people come together to decide to have to reconstitute a common law grand jury in your county. I presume that's what you mean. You only have to do it once. You get together to do other things, to organize, get together to do something in another county. And look, we've said this from the beginning. We're doing the honorable thing. We're notifying the people. We're going to whatever extremes we have to. The newspapers, we were doing more things, but it caused problems, and we had to stop. But we're going to go to the newspapers. And you know what? If the newspapers don't post it, shame on them, woe is them, but that has nothing to do with us. We've done the honorable thing, and of course we'll make those phone calls anyway, make sure that we get as many people as possible to that meeting so that people will decide for themselves once what they want. And it's been pretty much unanimous almost everywhere. Occasionally you get somebody who doesn't want to vote or something. But if they don't want to vote, that's fine. It's unanimous then. If they vote no, then it's by majority, supermajority, you know. But generally it gets done. Most of the time, no one comes from the newspaper, whether they post it or not. As Thomas Jefferson said, we have government not by the majority, but by the majority that participate. And if they don't participate, shame on them. When we get our schools back, and the grand jury will see to this, and believe me, by bringing justice back to our counties, to our courts, and eventually to our state, that will bring our control of the schools back to the people. Let's say you have a 1,000 families in a particular school district, and they have a meeting because it's up to the people to decide what the curriculum is. It's up to the people to decide how much morality they want to pour. Do they want to do a biblical thing in their school? That's their business. It doesn't belong to no one else. Is it a Jewish community that wants to focus in on their way of life? Is it a Christian religion, a Christian community? Is it a Catholic? Is it an atheist? Whatever it is, okay? But you know what? When you have 1,000 families and 10 families show up and the other families complain because they don't want it, well, they should have showed up, shouldn't they have? You know what? Next year there's going to be another meeting for other decisions. Why don't you show up? You know, we have government not by majority, by the majority that participates. And we, the people, will do the right thing right now. We're going to become the majority to make these decisions. We are the morally minded people. We are the one focused in on justice. And we're going to bring back to our schools the things that our children, we're going to bring civics back to our school. We're going to teach our children. When our children come out of eighth grade, and there's no reason for school any longer than eighth grade, that's what they did in the 1800s, and their education far surpassed our college education. Go up to nationalliberty.org, click on documents, click on 1895 eighth grade test, and it'll blow your mind, okay? We can do the same thing and better in 2000. We can have our children go through school and far surpass college level in eighth grade. We can have an eighth grader come out of school and be able to speak in public, walk into any court, and do battle in a court arguing a case. We can do that if we want to do that. I can tell you for my children, my son has been reading at a eighth grade, was reading an eighth grade level. And a ninth grade level is is college level, okay, in reality, by the way, okay? And he was reading eighth grade level when he came out of second grade, okay? And that's because he had a good education, okay? All of our children can do that. All we have to do is teach them. Schools are not there to teach. Schools are there to control, to prepare them to be able, right now, to prepare them so that they can live in militarized zones, to prepare them so that they can come to street checkpoints and empty their pockets and walk through their machines and have cops at every corner and think everything is okay. That's what school is about today. If you don't believe me, go visit a school and you'll see. So anyway, Gerard.
Just one point real quick. You said you used the word mandatory twice, and I don't believe you meant it the way you said it. We don't mandatorily require anything of the people. Just like you said, there's no rulemaking. I mean, mandatorily, you have a duty due to piety to serve, but we're certainly not going to make a rule that says you mandatorily have to be a committee man or a grand jury. And I know you didn't mean that, John, but you did say mandatory twice. So I just wanted to clear that up. Second thing is we only got Jim, Mr. Bag of Beans, that wants to do this meeting tomorrow. If you're going to do it at, 1 o'clock, I'm not going to be able to make it because my morning is already taken up and my afternoon is filled. So, I mean, you don't need me there, but if you just got Jim, Bag of Beans, and you should have more than that. So we're going to... He left me his phone number to call him because he was going to take off of work tomorrow to go. So we got to figure out what we're doing with this. I don't think that you should go up there with just two people. I mean, unless you think you want to do it. I mean, if one of them is you and it's him, I mean, I suppose you could do it. But we need to nail that down if you're going to do it tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, I didn't realize you used the word mandatory. I'm going to have to roll back this tape. I don't know that I can believe you on that one. Anyway, maybe you can tell me how I use that word. I'm curious, you know, what other words were around that word, mandatory. We got to do it tomorrow. Reason being, heavy weather's coming in on Wednesday, Thursday is, of course, Thanksgiving, and Friday is not going to be a good day for this, and it'll be off till Monday, and we're into another week, and we just can't keep putting this off. So we got to go down tomorrow. We need at least we need at least four people, at minimum, four people. So anybody who can go to this, please give us a call as soon as this meeting is over tonight. And we're going to have to do it at 4:15. Maybe we've got to give a call to Tony. Maybe Tony will go and what's his face? Why can't I think of his name? You just worked on his car. Maybe he can go. But anyway, before Keith picks up the mic, I'm curious. How did I use the word mandatory?
I'm not sure what you're for the mandatory. That was not what I'm going to get into. I was going to get into a couple pieces real quick, if you don't mind, John. You were talking about the IRS and all. The first thing, if you go back, that was actually put together by Wilson back in 1913 with the Federal Reserve, and that bill basically said that was only good for 100 years, and that bill could not be added to, could not be subtracted, it has to be totally, at the end of the year, this year, it has to be abolished there. So they have to do something with the IRS and the Federal Reserve. They have to go back, both have to go bye-bye. The other point I was going to bring is everyone's been talking about corporate and understanding the corporate law or the corporate government, as we know. If you go back to Organic Act of 1871, it's actually called Organic Act Law of 1871. It'll actually tell you how the government came from the Republic to the corporation and get into the Delaware papers of filing for the corporation as well. And so it's a lot of good information there for you to learn. The last thing I wanted to touch on is just to show you how corrupt also within the government itself is that they've been sitting here, and we've all been hearing about this thing of amnesty, and not the political part here at all. I'm just getting into the law part here, is that there was a law or a legislation that was passed back in 1805 that still stands to this day. It's never been ratified. So technically, if you read our Constitution, if you pass another law that overrides or supposedly overrides another law, everyone who is involved with that law basically makes them guilty and you can charge them with treason. The last comment I was going to make to you, John, is that we'd like to sit down and try to work with you and try to figure out a way to start getting some people, the coordinators and the people, otherwise even the county level, see if we can take and start getting them involved with the VC program. And at this point, I suppose, I don't know, you can ask me or how we can do this for the email, because I'd like to, we still need to sit down and teach them the basic concept of how the VC program works. So I give the floor.
All right. Well, I don't know whether you got the list of everything you need from Carl. I don't know if Carl's here tonight, and just make sure he knows whatever you need to give it to you so that you can have all the state coordinators' email addresses and their phone numbers you have. Just continue to contact those people and prepare them and get them ready for a meeting that we can have. And when they're ready, when you think you got them all primed up, let me know, and then we'll start having meetings between the state coordinators so that we can start to really push on the states. I'm going to, sing my same song that I've been singing for a good month now, and it needs to be sung once in a while. And I know some people complain that I'm frightening people, but I'm facing reality, and everybody has to face reality. So let me give you my two-minute clip of my little song. We have 386,000 foreign troops on American soil as of October 2nd. Actually, I heard there's more, but we'll stick with that number. They have been deployed on October 3rd around the country, around the nation. We have a no constitutional zone for 100 miles from the border all the way around the United States. And that's where they've been deployed to, all the way around the United States. They'll be working with law enforcement and others. And that's where they're at. In 2010, the lights in the FEMA camp started to go on around the country, and they're being manned. They're taking applications right now for all. They're still hiring. We know in Georgia there are millions of caskets been sitting in a field for a long time, and they're now being shipped out. They're leaving Georgia, and they're being shipped all around the country. And they're going to FEMA camps. I wonder what they're doing there. Of course, we know they're trying to take our guns, and all everybody has to do is just, connect the dotted lines. Okay? We're out of time, people. Let's get going on this thing. Anybody who is not active needs to be active tomorrow. Everybody needs to be looking to the counties around them. They should be calling their state coordinator and work with them. How can I help you, state coordinator? They should be calling other people in other counties next door. Hey, did you guys constitute a grand jury yet? If not, do you need my help? I'll come out and help. Let's do it next week. You need to call counties that don't have coordinators in it, organizers, and find a Tea Party there. Find a Liberty group. Find a Glenn Beck group. Find somebody that's in a Liberty group. Call the veterans up down there. And get them involved, get them out to the front page, have them see the video, Power of the Grand Jury and Common Law Grand Jury, and get a person to take the bull by the horns in their county. Tell them you'll help them once they become interested. I'll come out there. Let's do it next week. You don't have to wait 3 months to have a meeting to decide on what, when, where, and how. One person, pick up the phone, call up someplace, a library, call up Denny's, use the back room of Denny's. It doesn't matter. Get a room. Set it for next week. Call the newspaper. Find out where to email or fax the press release. Send them a press release. Download the papers. Fill it out. It's all fill in the blanks. It's plug and play is all it is. Watch the 35-minute video on how to create a grand jury. Set the date for next week. Call up your family, your friends. Get at least two people out there that you know will show up, and then try to get as many more people as you can. And get them into a point where they'll commit to coming. Say, hey, look, I really need you out there. Come on out. And you'll be surprised. All these people will become involved, okay, once they see the videos. We play three videos, less than 10 minutes apiece. It's less than 30 minutes. And so the whole thing, 35 minutes and you're done. People will want to talk after that anyway, but 35 minutes and you're done. So everybody that does not have a common law grand jury in their county right now, by the end of next week, you can be constituted if that's what you want to do. And that's what you need to do. Constitute next week. Don't have a meeting to have a meeting to have a meeting to decide let's have another meeting. Just go out. Forget the meetings. One person, step up and do it. Call everyone else up. Come on out. Call the counties next door. Will you come out and support me? I need some help. I'm not sure how to do this. I need a digital projector. I don't have one. Where can I get one? Can you loan me yours? Can you do it for me? Hey, give me help. Look it. That's what we got to do. Okay? Let's do it. We don't have much time left. Jesse.
Just wanted to let you know we do have 12 counties that have had their election in Pennsylvania. I just looked on the state site and it still says 10. I know I sent out the emails to support and don't know if they just didn't get a chance to update it yet. Also, I'm using something called free conferencing. And tomorrow we're going to have our second PA statewide call-in, and we're doing that from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And we have a presenter from Elk County in Pennsylvania named Jeremy Thatcher. So just hopefully everybody from PA that's on the call will be able to join us. That's everything that I had.
Okay, I don't know if anybody... Was I talking? Did anyone get that? What I was just saying? Give me a one if you heard that I was talking. Okay, you didn't get anything. All right. If anybody wants to update that the numbers on your state, just send me an email. Get rid of that guy, Gerard, red dot that guy. Find him in the list and get rid of him. Anyway, if anybody has to update, just send me an email, john@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please don't send anything that, you know, don't send me lots of emails. I just can't read it. Sometimes I just dump them. So if I don't respond from that email, just try another email a day or two later. Or just give me a call. My phone number is everywhere, so just call me, and I will make the change. If you go up there right now and refresh the page, you'll see I just changed it to 12, so that's done. We do need, before we move on to Don, just want to make another point here. We do need more state coordinators. Without a state coordinator, you know, you're kind of the state is kind of operating in the blind because we want to give you access to. All of these people that are behind the scenes, so you can give them a call to invite them to the elections. But you need a state. We're not going to release this to just anybody. So we have to have one state coordinator who will have access and will share that with the people he knows who are really working and doing things in their counties, and he'll give you the list, the phone numbers, or he'll call them on your behalf. We'll give you the numbers, and you call them to invite them to the election. And maybe some people in the county next door, you maybe call them and ask them if they want to come over, whatever, okay? But we need coordinators. We need a coordinator in Alaska. We need a state coordinator in Alaska. We need one in Delaware. We need one in Georgia. We need one in Idaho. We need one in Minnesota and Mississippi. We need one in Montana, Nebraska, Nevada. But wait a second. Nebraska, we have someone in Nebraska. Nevada, New Hampshire. We need one in New Mexico. We need one in Oklahoma, Oregon. Anybody in any of those states that they can be the state coordinator, even if it's temporary? We need a coordinator for every state. You can pass it on to someone else when you can get someone else interested if you can't keep it. But we need coordinators. Rhode Island, Texas, Vermont, West Virginia, Wisconsin, Wyoming. Those are the states we need coordinators in. So come on, let's pick up the ball there. One other thing, North Dakota. We have nobody in North Dakota that has taken up the, starting anything in North Dakota. We don't have any county leaders in North Dakota. If you're from North Dakota, let's get something started out there. And the other state that we have nothing going on yet is Vermont. If you're from Vermont, let's get something going. Give me a call. I'll help you. 845-233-6560. Anybody from North Dakota or Vermont, call me. And let's get something going in your state, and I'll try to get other people to help you, and let's get doing what has to be done. Don, go right ahead.
I wanted to ask if you had any verification that the Westmoreland County had actually got into the jury room and had started having meetings in the jury room yet.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Are you asking me if anyone's done that yet, or are you telling me that someone has done that?
I'm just wondering. I know you said that you heard rumors last week, but you were waiting on verification.
Right. I have not had anything confirmed of anybody having meetings in Pennsylvania was where we heard it, and I have not had that confirmed by anybody that any meetings have taken place in any courthouse at this point. If that is happening and someone's aware of it, I need to talk to those people. I need to know about it because we can use that as a springboard here in New York too, and so can the other states. And when New York gets it done here, you'll be able to use New York as your springboard. But no, I'm not aware of any yet at this point. Yeah, Jason, go right ahead.
The news media, with as far as Facebook, now we're asking for people to get involved. You said to use that as a way of keeping informed. If you whatever groups that you have, put out the notes to them, because again, we have to save our republic by taking back our society back to its sane self.
Well, that's true, yeah. And by the way, we do need help money-wise. I hate to ask for money, but, hey, what can I tell you? If everyone was to throw $5 or $10 a month, you can go out online and click on the donation button, and you can pay. You could do something monthly, $5 a month, $10 a month. Maybe someone can afford $20 or whatever. Give what you can. Everybody can afford $5 a month. If everybody put out $5 a month, we'd have plenty of money to do everything we have to do. It's going to become very expensive to build this website, particularly to keep it up. The broadband is going to be cost a lot of money, and also the security, and it's a different kind of website than what we have. Far different, We're going on a national show soon. Probably next week. They're definitely not going this week. And when we go on that national show, our website is going to be hit by a lot of people, and it's going to crash unless we do something before then. I'm doing everything I can to get whatever money I can, wherever I can, to get this thing up and going. But we do need a minimum of about $6,000 just to get things up and going and secured and get the site pretty much close to done. As far as from where it's at from here, we're going to make a very extravagant site. But to get the basics up and done and to make the move and to cover the costs and the monthly cost for at least a couple of months, it's going to be about $6,000. And so $5 a piece would easily do it. From the people that are involved with us that are signed up would more than enough do it. And we have, believe me, we have thousands of people across the nation involved with us right now, thousands. And so, again, $5 is huge. I mean, we'd be able to do all kinds of things. So let's do what you can to support this. If the website does go down and you don't see us around for a while, we'll still have these Monday night meetings. We'll still communicate through Meetup. And just know that we'll be doing everything we can to get it back up again as soon as we can. But we do need the support of the people. It's way too much money for one person to do it. I don't have this kind of money. So, anyway. Jesse, go right ahead.
Talked with Tom Altman today. He is from Westmoreland County, which got their paperwork filed, but he does not have access to the grand jury room yet. He was going to talk with the county clerk to, get access so that they can actually constitute the grand jury within the courthouse.
All right, yeah, as soon as you hear anything about that, let me know right away. I'd really like to know about that. I'd like to broadcast that, and I'd like to use that as a leverage. By the way, I see Celia out there making an offer, and I'll take you up on that offer if you could do that. I would really appreciate, everybody here would really appreciate that. But bear in mind, people need to support this. We all need to support this, and $5 a month is not a big deal, you know. And I notice the poorest of people, they pass me $20, $10 all the time. The most I know people in Social Security, and they give me $20. I almost feel guilty of taking it, but I appreciate what they're doing, and I use it for what we're doing. So, but, hey, Celia, if you could do something, I'd appreciate it. Give me a call, 845-233-6560. You can call me tonight, tomorrow, next week, whenever you want. We would definitely appreciate that. Daryl, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm from Missouri, and Rick Harmon is shown as the state coordinator, and I think I would like to be the coordinator, since it doesn't seem like he's doing anything. Maybe I can make some calls and get this moving out here.
All right, I appreciate that, Daryl. Give him a call. Talk to other coordinators, see if he's able to keep up on the job, or if he's willing to give it over to you. If he's going to do it, he's got to get moving, though. Tell him. And if look at the county coordinators come together and they feel they have to replace someone for not doing what has to be done, then just do it. But be polite, be nice, be humble, and just be honest and just say, hey, look, we got to get this going. If you have a state coordinator that springs back, then work with him. And every county coordinator should be working, helping that state coordinator do whatever has to be done. Someone asked me, what is a state coordinator? Well, we have let's start off with a county organizer. Well, people are just organizing, okay? And those county organizers will become the people who will administrate to the grand jury, if that's what they want. I mean, some people have jobs, and they don't want to give up their job, so, you know, someone else will come up and do it. These will be paid positions. Four individuals, every county, administrators of the grand jury, a paid position, and so it's 40 hours a week minimum. You'll put in more than that because we got a lot of work to do, but you get paid for 40 hours. And the state will pay it. We'll work out the budget. We'll teach you all about that soon. We do talk a little bit about it, but we'll get into more detail a little later. A state coordinator is someone that is coordinating all the organizers of the other counties, making sure that they're all communicating with each other, finding a state or a county organizer in a county that doesn't have one, giving a call to someone that's in a county that's a county organizer and making sure they're communicating maybe with another county organizer in the same county and their neighbors next door. And pushing them along to say, hey, did you set up the date for your election? Oh, could you do it next week? If you need help, I'll help you. I know Joe next door in the county next door, he's active. He'll come over and help you. He'll even do it for you if you want, but let's get it going. You see, that the organizer's got to organize their county, and the coordinator's got to push the organizers and keep them moving and get the elections going. And they also will become the administrators on the website. We will have one admin from every state to run the national site. For a while, I'll stick on a national end just mostly for educational purposes. But eventually, we will vote in. These 50 states will vote in someone to kind of be on a national level to keep an eye on things, and we'll replace that person as often as the states think that we need to replace that person. I will decrease as time goes on. I'll always be here, of course, for if someone needs me for some information to write a paper or help. Or we'll always be teaching and learning more things, and we'll be involved with that all the time. But the point is this is not a top-down organization. Obviously, at some point, I can't stay at the pinnacle of this thing, and I'm really not here. I'm just trying to organize people is all I'm doing. And we're not telling anybody what to do, but we're suggesting very strongly what they should do and how this works and what the process is and what the procedure is and what you need to know and how we should do things. But generally, it does boil down to what you want to do in your county, because you're a free people. And if we do it right, we're going to succeed. And if we don't do it right, then we're not going to succeed. So it's up to you, and we just got to do it together. So, but a county state organizer is very important right now to organize the state. That's the purpose. A communicator, an organizer. Obama is a Nazi. Oh, okay, go ahead. Obama is a, what's your first name, by the way?
Obama. Yo, but I was checking out your site. You guys seem like patriots and stuff like that. That's a good thing. Any chance, do you guys listen to Alex Jones or anything like that? I just want to know. You know what I mean? Free Mike.
Yeah, most of us are very familiar with Alex Jones and all of the different things in the liberty movements, and a lot of us come from the Tea Party movements. Maybe some of us from Alex Jones and Glenn Beck and Oath Keepers and various other places. We're from all over the place. We're not into the politics. We're into the justice, and we're going to return justice back to the Republic and take this country back. And hopefully you'll join us. Go out to the website, watch the video, which is called The Power of the Common Law Grand Jury. It's on the front page, just a few inches down, Power of the Common Law Grand Jury. And it's about a 45-minute video. And if you want to join our ranks and help us build a grand jury in your county and in, get your state going on board, jump right in. Jesse, go right ahead.
There's another county that I was told is going to have their paperwork filed shortly with the court clerk, the criminal court clerk. Just wanted to get clarification on once they want to get into the grand jury room. One county, Westmoreland, is saying they're going to talk to their county clerk to get access, and the other county was saying they're going to talk to their court administrator to get access to the grand jury room. I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, every state is set up a little different to some degree. It could be that the county clerk also deals with 100% of the court clerk business. Here in New York, let me just give you an example, and you got to figure out how it works in your state, and once you figure that out, everybody's got to be teaching the other people the different ways this things works. There's not, most of us are set up pretty much the same way. Definitely what we are doing is identical. Whatever we're doing in New York, you need to be doing in Pennsylvania and so on. Just follow our lead and tweak it as you go. You know, here in New York, let me give you an example. When I go to file a court case, I go down to the county clerk, and I file my papers. We pull an index number, and if we're going to pull a magistrate in the beginning, we'll do what's called an RJI. Most states don't have the separation. They just file the papers. They get an index number and RJI together in one. New York has something a little different there. I think maybe because being one of the original 13, it might be under the original common law thinking that you don't pull the magistrate in unless you need them. You go through the process of the court through just the index number. But in any event, we do that with the court clerk, I mean the county clerk. Once it goes to the county clerk and we do a summons and everything and we send the papers out, at some point when it moves into the court, that's when the court clerk takes over. And any filing of any papers of the type that we're talking about has to go to the chief court clerk. Now, the chief court clerk is usually a paralegal or even a lawyer. They take an oath, and they're a clerk, and they receive all the important papers of the court. They'll pull the papers up from the county clerk. They'll receive whatever papers are filed with the court through the prosecutor. The grand jury will file their papers with, and others will file their papers with the court clerk. Now, it is possible in your state that the county clerk acts as the chief court clerk. I don't think that that's the case, but it could be. You'll have to find that out. So, again, every court has an elected judge, at least one, and I don't think there should be more than one elected, but maybe like, you know, a large city type thing. I'm sure they need a lot of judges. But in any event, you have your court, your judge, and that judge has a court clerk. And that's the person where you got to file these papers. That's the place to go. And if you're going to do an indictment, you got to file it with that person. So you got to find out who that person is. And then, talk with Hagen. I'm sure he's done a lot of investigating on this. Has he responded to you on this?
Just talked with Tom Altman today. Last time I talked with Hagen, he was down in Florida, but I can give him a call and run it by him. Just Tom was saying that to get to the grand jury, he already filed with the criminal court clerk, which is like the chief clerk that you were talking about. But he was saying to get access to the grand jury room, he was going to deal with the county clerk. And the other county that is going to have their paperwork filed shortly said that they were going to talk to the court administrator to get access to the grand jury room. So I just thought I'd ask that tonight.
Yeah, in this case, it's going to be a little different maybe in different states. I think most of the states are set up the way we're set up, but some states are a little different. We call our court the Supreme Court. You call your court, I think, the Court of Commons, if I recall. So there's a little different changes. Nevertheless, these are the courts that are trial courts and the common law courts. And they do separate them between criminal courts and civil courts. And once a court is called a criminal court, then that is no longer a common law court. It is not a court of record. It is a nisi prius court. It's a court created by statutes and controlled by statutes. Although that particular court was probably created by the Constitution, but was hijacked and is now operating under statutes. Every court in the United States is operating under statutes. That's unfortunately what I have found. And we're going to remove that. They are not courts of record. They are not the courts of justice. And that's of course what we're going to change. We're going to take that brick and mortar back. We're going to flip that shingle around, and we're going to require it to be a common law court under penalty of law if they don't obey. It's that simple. Gerard.
I forgot what I was going to say, I hate to say. Hey, Sealy pledged just $5,000, so you should thank him from Tennessee. So I just wanted to let you know that. There was something else, so I lost my train of thought here with all the talk.
Well, you must have been out on a snack break. Yeah, I already did, and I do appreciate that. Give me a call, and we'll figure that out. That's my number, 233-6560. You can call me tonight after the meeting or tomorrow or whenever you feel that you can. And believe me, we appreciate it, and everyone in this room should appreciate it and should thank you for that. And everybody else in this room should try to throw in $5 a month, and let's keep this thing going. So, again, thank you. Celtic, go right ahead.
Actually, I pronounce it Celtic Fire. John, maybe you should explain how they have the court set up there in New York, because it's considerably different from, say, Pennsylvania, with your district justices going up to the county court, then going to the Superior Court, and the Commonwealth Court, and the Supreme Court. And down here in South Carolina, we've got the it's different in all states, but in New York State, it is totally different from everywhere else. You might want to lay that out, because I'm not even sure how it's laid out now.
All right, yeah. Have I got the mic yet? Okay. Okay, there it goes. Yeah, let me explain how New York is set up. And like I said, every state might have some little different tweaks and stuff. We have the Supreme Court. That's what they call it. There is one Supreme Court in every county. Ultimately, there is literally only one Supreme Court in New York State, on the trial court. But it has 62 locations, one for each county. We got 62 counties. So we have a location of a Supreme Court in every county. And so, therefore, we should have administrators for grand juries, obviously, in every county, so that we could administrate the necessities for the court. We have, of course, the town courts, which are the municipality courts, and the city courts. Those courts are totally illegal. They have never been constituted. They're administrative courts. They operate under consent. If you don't consent, they can't do anything to you. But it has gotten so bad that they forgot that, and it's an uphill battle to make them realize that and to maintain that. Our next court system, other than that, we have that has been constituted by our Constitution here in New York. It recognizes a courts of record, and our New York Constitution says the county court is a court of record, the Supreme Court, the trial court, is a court of record, probate court, one for every county, is a court of record, family court, one for every county, is a court of record, and I said the county court. The county court really handles a lot of the small claim stuff. That's pretty much what they're supposed to be handling, but they do handle some criminal stuff on the light end. Maybe carrying a weapon without a permit or a license, driving without a license or without insurance, marijuana. Usually the town courts take care of that, but the county courts do get involved with that here too. Unfortunately, just like every other state, we have been hijacked. And all of our courts of record have become Nisi Prius courts through hijacking. They have, of course, incorporated the county. It's no longer Dutchess County. It's the County of Dutchess, which means it's incorporated. Our state has been incorporated. It's not New York State. It's the state of New York. It's a corporation. They are under corporate charter. Above the Supreme Trial Court, we have the Appellate Court and the Court of Appeals. They are courts of record, but they too have been hijacked. They no longer operate under the Constitution. They operate under a corporate charter. And unless you understand this when you go to court, you're going to lose every time, because you're going to think you're going to get your Constitution. You're going to make all the arguments you're going to make, but you never make the point of resisting their jurisdiction, and therefore you're agreeing to their jurisdiction, and they put your can in the can, and that's that. That's the unfortunate thing that people don't realize. If you don't give them jurisdiction, If you don't consent to their jurisdiction, you deny their jurisdiction, and you reveal their fraud in the court case. I reveal, very first thing when I go to court, is I reveal the fraud in the court case. I let them know I know what they're doing. I put the judge's skin on the line. And of course, we establish court of record as one of the people with the sovereign of the court, and we make the battle from that process. So that's the way we're doing it now. This is kind of a recent thing in the way we're approaching some of the cases now at this point, at least the way I'm going to focus on them from now. We've had a federal case, and we did very good in that case, and we approached it exactly the way I just said, and we won in 30 days. And it's over. So we're going to apply the same stuff. Well, we're not spending time in court anymore unless we have to, because really we're busy doing the grand juries, and we want to just bring them back to the common law. Then we have to deal with all this silly fiction, this all Wizard of Oz stuff, you know? So anyway, I don't see any hands up. Someone want to pick up the mic? Looking out in the text chat, is there any questions out there, anything I need to respond to, Gerard? Anybody else want to pick up the mic? Caesar, go right ahead.
You mentioned that the first thing you do when you walk into the court is, you know, kind of take away all the phoniness and let...
Yeah, your mic dropped. You said to me, I mentioned that the first thing I do when I go into court, take away, and then your mic dropped. Let's try it again. And by the way, yeah, this is still being recorded. I'm going to shut the recording down shortly, but it's still being recorded. And the recording will be up tomorrow morning. Try that again. Yeah, I think that was Caesar that was on the mic. Caesar, try that again. You were asking me a question concerning first thing I do when we go into court. And by the way, if anybody else has any questions or comments or anything to share, raise your hand. Let's pick up that mic. Okay, go ahead. Type it there. While you're typing it, Celtic. Go right ahead. Did I say that right?
Celtic Fire. Yesterday I posted an email, three videos. Please go back and look at those videos. That's of an attorney who used to work at the World Bank. And she is one of the World Bank whistleblowers, and she has released an incredible amount of information on the World Bank and where exactly 60% of your income tax money is going, goes to the Jesuit Bank in the Vatican.
Yeah, we're kind of aware of that. We may not be aware of the exact percentages, but we're kind of aware of all that. And we're going to be doing some special pages once we get the new site up on that's going to give a lot of knowledge on how these things really work, and so people will need to understand it. Not that we have to deal with them on their level, but we have to understand them to be able to deal with them. You know, you have to know your enemy, and you have to call your enemy's bluff, and you got it's a chess game. It's a pain in the neck, but it's a chess game. I've come to realize whenever you go into court, the first order of business is to fight with the judge. I haven't even got time to fight my case until I finish fighting with the judge, because they're getting in my way right from day one. You know, we have to make sure that they understand this is a court of record. This is a common law procedure. I'm the plaintiff. I get to decide that. And that's a big battle right there. It takes a lot of our time. But unfortunately, right now in this environment, that's what you got to do. But that's going to change as soon as we get the common law courts back, and those other courts are going to disappear. So, okay, let me see. Uh, I'm not sure I know what Averill is saying, something about Montana Code, 5 years, 25,000 for constituting a grand jury, how to get around. I don't understand what that means. You'll have to tell me what you're talking about. And I know Caesar was going to put something out there. You mentioned when you walk into court, you let them know that you know what they are doing. How do you do this? Once we get our new site up, we'll post the papers that we file so people can see how we, write papers, and then you can follow our framework. We used to have them up on the site before we went national. We never got around to putting them up there, but we will get them up there so that people can, utilize our framework and write their papers. It'll give them ideas on how to do it, and they'll be able to use a lot of the Supreme Court cases that we use and on different positions and how we make our battle, how we bring in even codes to use against them. Remember, codes have a place. Any statutes are written to control bureaucrats and will give bureaucrats penalties like U.S. Code 18 and 42. Those are good codes. That controls the people who are in our government, and it tells them how they're to operate. But when they start writing codes to control our behavior, that's where the problem begins. They don't have the authority to do that. We, the people, never gave them the authority to control our behavior. That's our job. I'll control my behavior, and you'll control your behavior. And as long as your kingdom doesn't assault my kingdom, we're all good. Otherwise, now we have to go to court. So, but anyway, we'll get that stuff up. There are a lot of strategies. Daryl, go right ahead.
I was just going to say, after going back to the default page on National Liberty Alliance, I was reviewing some of the videos and saw some new ones. And the part about Obamacare, where it gives the government a right to come into our home without a search warrant, has really got me worried. And I am really concerned that we might not get the common law grand jury established fast enough.
Well, I have your same concern, Daryl. I share that. And that's why I often come on here with my fear-mongering. And again, I don't mean to frighten people, but look at, you got to face reality. This is a motivation. Foreign troops, FEMA camps, coffins, guns. That should scare the hell out of anyone, okay? Look at, let's get going with this thing. But, ultimately God's in control, and that's where I rest. I'm here because I believe I was put here. I was just, my path led me here. I didn't decide one day I was going to do what we're doing here. It just happened, and here we are. We definitely never intended on going national like this, and here we are. We're doing it. We never intended to do a lot of the things we're doing, and we had our own ideas on how things would work, but I guess God had different ideas, and it was his way that went, not mine. So we kind of, we know we need to move in haste. We need to push each other, but ultimately we'll move in his timing. So, I do trust that God's going to save us, and he always does this in the last minute. Anybody who's a Bible reader knows he does this in the last minute, and that's that's how he builds our faith in us. So I trust he's going to do that. But maybe he's got another plan. Maybe this is just a plan for us to get ourselves right in our own frame of mind and what's right and wrong. And maybe he's not going to accomplish the goal that we think we're going to accomplish. Maybe he has some other plan in mind. I don't have any idea. But, yeah, I am concerned about timing. We don't have much time. We've got to get moving. It's up to us to get moving and doing things. I want to respond to that Montana thing, 5 years. I don't believe such a law exists. I'm going to say show me the law. So someone in Montana needs to go and let me know where it is that people say that there is a law that people will get a $25,000 fine or 5 years in prison for going to get a common law grand jury. I'd like to see that. And I will show you a law that is null and void at the same time. I've got a lot of people telling me that the feds wrote rules and a law in 1949 banning common law grand juries. This is what they tell me. I believe there was a professor who said some other things. But I want to tell you something. They don't show me where it's at. I went into the federal rules and I looked it up, and nothing like that exists. Okay. Now, they do have rules telling the government on how they can create a grand jury and what the process is and how they impanel them and all that other stuff, but it doesn't say we can't do it, and it could never say we can't do it. That would be a violation of our Fifth Amendment right to begin with, our unalienable right that's protected by the Fifth Amendment, I should say. And so, I don't think it exists. I'd like to see if it does. And if it does exist, I promise Montana that New York will rescue you, New Jersey will rescue you, Texas will rescue you, California will rescue you. I was speaking to some people on this possibility, if this kind of thing existed, and I found out, and I don't have the story on this, and I need to go back and find the story, but I heard that there is precedence on one state going in to rescue another state. We will guarantee Montana that once New York gets its power here, that all 62 common law grand juries here in New York will indict everyone that supports or legislates such a law in Montana, and we will rescue you. And again, I believe every other state that forms their common law grand juries will do the same thing. There is no such law in New York, even though they keep telling us that. They have told us from the very beginning there are going to be undesirable or something, legal consequences, should we continue, and they were paper tigers. Nothing ever developed. The FBI came out and they left too. There is no law in New York to prevent us from doing what we're doing, but there is plenty to tell us what we're doing is right, and these people are in trouble, and they know it. So anyway, in Montana, if something like that exists, I want to see it. If someone told you it's in a certain area of the law, let me know. I'll go look it up, and we'll talk about it next week. If you can't get that information to me now, you can email it to me, or you can call me, 845-233-6560, and then I'll research that, and I'll bring it up next week. Darryl, go right ahead.
Yeah, another thing you said earlier about the best way to find out your legal rights on the common law, you directed through the website on where to teach yourself, and it happened so long ago I forgot where that location is. Could you tell me again, please?
Yeah, on the right, on the left side of our page, you'll see a link that says Common Law. And if you click on that page there, that Common Law page, that's where you will find all the information we have on Common Law. It's not the only place, but it has the majority of it. You'll find videos here, and you'll find many, many hours of MP3. You'll find documents. We have three or four lectures by Bill Thornton. There are about three of the lectures are 7 to 8 hours each, and the other one I think is like 4.5 hours. And then there's some conversations with Bill Thornton. There's quite a few hours of that. We got a few other people up here. And from here we got other stuff too. You know, we have on our... which we'll put it on the common law page eventually. I just haven't done it yet. But we put the trial by jury by Spooner, which is a 15-hour audio, which was the book. The guy wrote the book back, I believe it was 1851 or 52. I think it was 1852. He wrote the book in 1852. And, wow, what a powerful book that is. And we have that both written in PDF form. It's like 300 pages or something like that. And so the book is available in PDF. And you'll find that on our Juris Document page. Look on the left side and Juris Documents and Services. You click on that, and you will find it on that page. And it's a download. It's probably a zip file I sent up there. 15 hours of MP3 and a PDF. You can read and listen at the same time. Read it. You can listen. Whatever you want to do. It's there. And everything on this Juris Document page is important. And we do have some services we offer. These are services that I use. Follow Me Phone and Fax Service. And business cards, if you want to create a business card, we offer two different kinds of business cards up there. One for the grand jury as an administrator. And we offer one for, being here or for National Liberty Alliance. You put your name, your phone number on it, and our website, and hand it out to people and, help people get along. We have the Jurist Handbook here, which we don't have that up yet. We're still looking for a publisher, so that's kind of coming soon, but we'll get it up here soon. Everything here is for the best prices we could find to help people. The right kind of a product, that's all, the only thing we'll put up here. And we do make a few cents on everything, so that will help to support what we're doing here when you go through this. But the documents, there's a lot of good documents on this page. So common law, and then go to the Juris Documents, and also you should be reading the breaking news. If you haven't been following it, start from the bottom and read up. Anybody else want to pick up the mic? Mic is open. I think we're going to end the audio right now, the audio tape right now. So let me